You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Chipped ham and football, that's what Pittsburgh does. Hi, everyone. As always, I'm Brian Batko, Steelers beat writer from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Well, I shouldn't say as always. Adam Bittner filled in for me last week with Justin King, so thanks to those guys. But today on the show, we have Jamie Erdahl. You surely know her from Good Morning Football every Monday through Friday, bright and early at 7 a.m. on NFL Network. I guess this is Good Morning Pittsburgh or Good Afternoon, whenever you might be listening to this. Thank you, Jamie, for joining us. How are you?
Happy to. Hi, Pittsburgh. Brian, nice to see you. And yeah, thrilled to be on and to kind of get in the weeds this weekend with you guys.
I was going to say, we're not just chatting with Jamie because she does a great job hosting what I think is a really good way to get your NFL fix every morning, because their crew actually homes in on cool stuff that's happening around the league rather than just hot takery. But Steelers Colts airs live on NFL Network at 4:30 Saturday with Jamie on the sidelines. That'll be fun, right? Especially being indoors in December at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yes, I am a Minnesota native, so there was a part of me that was considering Vikings-Bengals would be kind of cool to have the first game. Jason McCourty's going to go do that one instead. But if I couldn't be there, I'm happy to be inside in Indy. And all six teams we have on the triple header on Saturday on NFL Network are playoff teams. So you can't fight fate, if you will, and to be the only game on in a certain window is always a blessing.
Yeah, I know when we were looking at the Steelers Colts like flex potential, we're like, that's going to be a Saturday game for sure with a with a good slot, because it's one
now,
of the.
Now, does that make Pittsburgh frustrated? Like, what's the reception there when you see that happen?
I think a lot of people that I've talked to, at least, well, us reporters, we're all happy to get it on Saturday, get it over with, kind of, and get home. But I think a lot of people too like it because they get to build their Saturday around the Steelers, and then they can watch all the other games on Sunday. So I'm sure there's differing opinions, but also 4:30 to me is pretty ideal. You don't have to stay up past your bedtime to catch the end of the game.
Yeah, you kind of know your emotional wherewithal, like, as the weekend goes on then.
Yeah, I think people are cool with it. And I'm eager to get your perspective on it, Jamie. The Steelers, the AFC North, whatever else comes up. But first, a quick word from Pella. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella. Save on your energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560. That's 866-593-1560 to get started with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Jamie, you keep an eye on all 32 NFL teams for your job. You're paying attention to the league from Boston to Arizona, from Miami to Seattle. When it comes to the state of the Steelers right now in our fair city, what to use kind of the thumbnail or the snapshot view of where this franchise is at this moment in time? And I don't just mean, oh, they're 7-6, they're in the sixth seed spot in the AFC if the playoffs. I mean, how do you view everything that's going on with them, good or bad? And obviously more bad lately.
It's interesting. I had a very specific standard for the Steelers coming into this season, because Peter Schrager on our show put Kenny Pickett on his top five breakout players of the season. I think
he had a great preseason.
Yeah, he had a great preseason. I'm fairly certain he put him number one or two, very high. And for us, you know, Peter's very much, he sets the tempo a lot of days and he has a lot of good editorial direction. So I kind of was always in the back of my head. I know Najee Harris very well from his time at Alabama. You know, the defense was truly coming on. I am a big Mike Tomlin fan. I think from a head coach, from production meetings to interviews to his conduct on the sidelines and then with the press, I think he's one of my favorites, honestly. And so I am a fan of you guys doing well as a city and as a team. And I was hoping that this was going to kind of be the turning point offensively. this team in particular, I feel like is still this team. And I'm like, well, maybe it'll happen next week. Wait, is it? Did we figure it out yet? And like the injuries have been frustrating. Your wins have been very curious at times. Your losses have been very frustrating. And I know people kind of say like, oh, that's the Steeler way. That's how we beat teams. Whether or not that's going to carry you very far in January or the next couple of years, obviously remains to be seen. But it just still feels like, and I'm frustrated for you guys, that it's just not a season that you got a lot of answers out of, because having to fire a coordinator, having to deal with the quarterback injuries, having to deal with defensive injuries, and really your division as a whole kind of being unanswerable at the quarterback position,
yeah.
Except for the Ravens. I mean, it's just been a wild ride for a division that I know for the four of us on Good Morning Football, I think we had at least two teams out of the AFC North in our playoff prediction in September. I had three of four. I only had the Browns out. So it was such a high expectation. And I just feel like we still haven't gotten there yet, despite the Steelers being very much in it.
Yeah. And I feel like with teams that have first or second year QBs, sometimes even more significant than the result of the season is like, what do we learn about this potentially franchise quarterback? And with Pickett, you know, returns were good in the preseason, like you mentioned, and it hasn't been as good in the regular season. A couple flashes here and there. And now he's injured. So you're even kind of putting that in a holding pattern.
I was listening to this. We're doing this conversation on Tuesday. I was listening to this Titans podcast after Monday Night Football, and they were talking about Will Levis and how he went in the second round and how scouts should always ask, what can a guy do for you? Not what can't the guy do? And for Kenny Pickett, I feel like I still, because of all of his late game kind of like antics, if you will, and winning games, I'm still kind of disguised by what can you do? I'm just not sure I've figured that out yet. I know you can ball. I know you're competitive. I know you can win games, but I still have yet to see kind of over 4 or 5 weeks. Oh, this is the full body of product.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a lot of pushback here, because at risk of falling into like the social media echo chamber, I can tell you Steelers fans are down on Pickett. Steelers fans are down on Mike Tomlin right now too, after back-to-back losses to two win teams. So,
well, and there's like this, I think when you let a coordinator go, you take on more responsibility for, regardless of who you put in that position of decision-making, regardless of what your emphasis is as a head coach, you inherently take on more responsibility. And if things don't go well, the weight is further on your shoulders.
And there is this dichotomy between, it's like national media takes on Tomlin and local media perspective on Tomlin. Rich Eisen, who's going to be calling the game with you on Saturday, has found himself in the crosshairs of Steelers fans and even some Steelers like radio, talk radio hosts and stuff, because he is so high on Tomlin. And I guess it's a matter of people here are so close to it. He's been here for so long. It's kind of just a natural 17 years, what have you done for me lately thing. But obviously he's still very well respected around the league. And like the big kind of talking point here lately, Jamie, is could they trade him in a Sean Payton like scenario, or what would other teams around the league want to give the Steelers back for him? Which I think the main question you even have to ask there is, would he even want to do that? Because if it's a no, Art Rooney II is not going to, for lack of a better word, dupe a head coach that's been here this long that he has so much respect for. But it is an interesting hypothetical when you look at Tomlin's value and the potential for the Steelers maybe needing a change.
When I hear this as it pertains to Tomlin and the Steelers and the nature of their organization as it pertains to their head coaches, like the history there is, they don't make drastic changes. They don't make drastic coordinator changes, despite this being a year that happens. It's curious to me that when people make that kind of pitch to do that with Tomlin, I don't really care about if he would be willing to do it. Who do you want instead? I'm not sure who is fitting this Steeler culture and direction, because our fans essentially saying like, let's just totally change what we are about. Or do you think there's someone else out there that's going to come in and give you what the Steelers are supposed to be about? I'm always curious. Like, you get rid of Bill Belichick, you kind of have an idea as to who could be the options there, if it is like a Gerard Mayo or like if Vrabel goes there. But I just don't know who is really at the brim that you're like, of course, this person instead of Mike Tomlin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the parallel that people draw to that usually is Mike Tomlin himself came out of nowhere as a candidate for the Steelers way back in 2007. So
yeah,
he was sort of, you know, he had no local connections. He was the Vikings DC, and you know, the Rooney family made a great hire back then. Could they do it again? I don't know. I guess that's the catch 22. It's like you made a great hire back then. You're certainly not going to apologize for winning a Super Bowl in his second season. But, you know, does that mean he's still the right guy for the job? Those are the big picture questions here right now. And it was funny having the Patriots.
The grass is always greener. My Viking.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
His fan dad would say that they never should have let Mike Tomlin go back when they did. So it's like that everyone else or teams that have gone through a roller coaster of head coaches might look at it and be like, you're lucky. You have a guy that gives you purpose and direction. And I guess in Pittsburgh, it's kind of the opposite, like change sometimes is a good thing. So that is you are right, because I think the national opinion is that he holds a standard that is very respectful. And you see a lot of other kind of disastrous situations in the league and you're like, well, the Steelers aren't that. So like that's kind of where my brain lands on it.
Yeah, I look at it as he's a high floor coach. We know that. But at least here in Pittsburgh, people are wondering, where's the ceiling at these days? Mm. So being on the sideline for this one, what are some of the top storylines that you're looking forward to? Or maybe even just what are you generally looking for in that role? Because for this Steelers team, I mean, we alluded to it a little bit. The sidelines had the microscope on it a decent amount, from the offensive coordinator shift and eventual switch to George Pickens and Deontay Johnson venting some frustrations at said offensive struggles to even most recent now, TJ Watt was getting checked out for a concussion on a Thursday night, doing some smelling salts and then getting that black visor. The sidelines can be a wild place in the NFL, huh?
It is very entertaining at times. The quarterback situation in both of these is curious to me. I'm always interested in like a Mitch Trubisky, like bouncing back and just really the command that a backup has with guys. I'm always curious, like how many meetings are unfolding a little bit more than usual with wide receivers or coaches, or how many phone calls up to the booth. You know, Gardner Minshew is a personality in and of itself, watching that.
Minshew mania,
exactly. Like the arrival of I'm kind of curious if he's going to be like flip-flops for a meeting. So there's the mainstays. The injuries are curious. I like the Shane Steichen conversation about, you know, if the Colts keep winning, does Shane Steichen make a really good argument for coach of the year? Because we saw what Dable did last year when he arrived with the Giants, and he's the one that won that cap last season. The only other one I can kind of look at is D'Amico Ryans, just because of the run that the Texans went on. So I'm excited to get to know Shane Steichen a little bit better. But I am honestly curious in terms of the Steelers, just watching them in the fourth quarter. We see what happens with them. We have seen where they've been able to pull out games. Does Trubisky have that in him that he can get into a sticky situation? Or is it going to show you that like, oh, Kenny Pickett's really the guy that is like the one that can get that done? So it's an odd game because it's a wild card destination. I think it's going to be very defining in that respect. And what are these two teams going to become this month that really become a challenging opponent in the playoffs too?
Sure. And right now I mean, Mike Tomlin didn't feed into this at all yesterday at his weekly presser, but there's a groundswell here of people who want to see Mason Rudolph get another chance over Trubisky. So I don't know how short his leash is going to be after the way he struggled against the Patriots, at least in the first half, turning it over Thursday night. So who knows? Maybe you'll even have a quarterback controversy or switch to report on Saturday in Indy. But
I kind of want to see Jalen Warren too in action. You know, he's been a presence on Angry Runs here on Good Morning Football.
Absolutely, and
I want to see him in person. So that is an interesting, again, tapping into what the markets are paying attention to, which is essentially that Mason Rudolph thing that like didn't even dawn on me. I was just kind of like, okay, it's Trubisky's band. Let's go. But now I...
Well, the backup quarterback, you know, he's always the most popular in any town, right?
And now
that exactly. Rudolph is not the number three and he's the number two and Trubisky's gone from number two to number one. Such is life. So the AFC North, you know, when we talked about it a little bit, I feel like we've gone from thinking this is the best foursome of teams in football at the beginning of the season, or at least I did. Sounds like you guys were on the same page. So then like 4 or 5 weeks in, it was kind of like, did we overrate this division, starting with the Steelers? And then Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, and Mark Andrews go down in like a five-day span. But now it's kind of turning back to the Ravens are feeling great. The Browns are enjoying the Flacassance. The Bengals are in the mix looking frisky with Jake Browning. Like, the vibes are good everywhere except here, Jamie. They're terrible here, but in Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincy, there's a real buzz about those three teams.
Well, vibes are very different than how the standings look. And right now you guys are still like, you can hold serve. And like, if you could just do that, then also what I'm always curious, like what's going to bring fans happiness this year? Is it just making it to the postseason? Like, what are the goals? Because if you're going to make it to the postseason, but lose on wild card weekend on the road, what did we even accomplish in terms of the answers? Like, oh, we really eked the Bengals out, but we had to go to Miami and deal with the Dolphins offense. Like, I'm always curious about teams that like, oh, they're crabby in early December, but they eked into the playoffs.
That's been the Steelers lately. I mean, I think fans here want a playoff win. Tomlin hasn't had one, and the Steelers haven't had one since 17. And obviously a lot's gone on with Ben Roethlisberger's injury and then eventual retirement. You're trying to find the next guy to replace him. But yeah, I think a lot of Steelers fans would consider a postseason playoff victory. A somewhat successful season, but it just doesn't look particularly likely right now. Although, again, this muddled mess in the AFC is, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with injuries and everything.
I think the worst case scenario would be is if you had to go to Baltimore again in the postseason. Otherwise, I think after what we saw in Monday Night Football this week in Miami, you could go to Jacksonville and beat them. You can go to Miami and beat them. You can go, you know, I just don't think you guys want to see the Ravens for a third time.
I wouldn't want to see the Chiefs. So the Steelers do play the Ravens fairly well.
Probably you're going to be on the road. So, or maybe, I don't know. So we'll see. Anyways, I forget what the question was.
Just the AFC North right now.
So it was such a wild ride. We really should have known something was up with the Nick Chubb injury.
Week two, that happened right in front of us at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh.
Yes. And so, you know, and then Joe Burrow, just, I know what the hand was, ended up being the thing, but like, God, he just never seemed right. We kind of were being like excuse makers, I think, for Burrow and the Bengals with that calf and then everything that happened with him at the start of the season. And even when he was healthy, their offense looked wonky. It made no sense. Like, Jamar Chase was totally non-existent.
Yeah.
Right. So the Joe Flacco thing is really fun. Is it sustainable? Like, tis the season of the questions for Joe Flacco. The Ravens, they have held the seams together with Mark Andrews, despite it being a significant injury. You know, they're the ones that have sustained the talent and the execution at the highest level in the division. It's too bad. I was mostly worried at the beginning of the season that this division was going to tear itself apart. I didn't realize it was going to self-implode from an injury standpoint. Those are two very different things. I would have loved these like high profile, high impact games where, you know, they're just beating each other left and right and everyone's 500 with each other. This injury God thing, I think, has rained down most of its wrath on their division, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is a bummer. Like, you know, Jake Browning, he's playing well, but it'd be way, way more juice for Joe Burrow coming into Pittsburgh with the playoffs on the line a week from now. And, you know, Lamar is the last man standing right now, even with Kenny Pickett down with his high ankle sprains. We'll see when he comes back. But, well, hey, thanks so much, Jamie. Is there anything else you wanted to add, either something on tap for this week on the show or something that you might get into sideline-wise for Steelers Colts before I let you go?
You know, you would know better than me. Jason McCourty has this segment called The Fit List. Have you seen this? Where I don't see a lot of Steelers guys arriving with some flashing outfits. Is that not a Pittsburgh Steeler arrival mentality?
They've got some pretty sharp dressers on the team. Yeah. Levi Wallace, you know, Patrick Peterson, he's been around a long time and he's got a lot of money in the bank too, so he can afford some nice fits. Maybe they, like, knowing that it's on your network this weekend, maybe some guys will put on their best road gear. But I think it's also like generally something that the more high profile players fall into. And for the Steelers, like, I will tell you, Kenny Pickett as their quarterback is one of the most low key dressers in, like, probably among quarterbacks in the league. Whatever Kyler Murray was wearing in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago was, he looked like a marshmallow rope. So that was truly something to behold in person when I stood next to him outside the press conference room.
Yeah, I am curious about that. So he kind of, Kenny Pickett and Brock Purdy kind of on the same level of, like, backpacks and flannels. And,
yeah, very much so. Same draft, first QB pick, last QB pick.
Yeah, that's so true.
Don't even get Steelers Nation started on the
pick. No, I'm really looking forward to it. It's always fun, I think, and important for us on the show being somewhere every day. You know, I was able to be in London for two games. I really like seeing teams in person and just seeing the coaches. And so I look forward to this weekend a lot and just, you know, seeing some of the talent that we harp on or talk about. It's really good to get your own eyes on them.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks so much, Jamie. I will be at Lucas Oil. So if I run into you, I will say hi in person and appreciate you joining us. Yep.
Absolutely.
We'll see you. Enjoy the game this weekend. And
thank you.
Hopefully everything goes smoothly out there in Indy. So see you, Jamie. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for checking us out. Before we wrap up, a quick word from Goldberg, Persky, and White. If you were diagnosed with mesothelioma or lung cancer, call your local attorneys at Goldberg, Persky, and White. For over 40 years, their firm has represented thousands of lung cancer and mesothelioma victims. Call 1-800-COMPLEX or visit gpwlaw.com for a free consultation and a message from Propel Schools. Propel's 13 public charter schools here in Allegheny County build a solid academic foundation for lifelong learning and offer more personalized instruction at every level for your child's kindergarten through 12th grade education journey. Give your children the quality education they deserve. Learn more and apply to Propel Schools by visiting propelschools.org. Thanks again to Jamie Erdahl. You'll see her on the sideline if you're watching from home this weekend. If you're headed to Indy, I'll be there along with Jerry Dulac, Ray Fittipaldo, Ron Cook, our whole crew from the Post-Gazette. Not looking forward to that long drive, but it should be a fun weekend in the Hoosier State. This has been another serving of Chip Tam and Football. I'm Brian Batko. Appreciate you watching. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.